Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Brainwaves, hear the world differently. Bringing community mental health to you, raising awareness and challenging stigma. Tune in to 3CR Community Radio, Wednesdays at 5pm.
Melbourne's Drive Time Radio program, featuring community organisations, powerful stories and information. Find us at brainwaves.org.au. Proudly sponsored by Wellways Australia.
I would like to begin by paying my respects to the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which I am coming to you from today. Land where at Brainwaves we tell our stories, and land where the traditional custodians have told their stories for many, many years before us, and continue to tell their stories. I would like to pay my respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners who are listening today.
Hello and welcome to Brainwaves on 3CR 855am, 3CR Digital Radio and 3cr.org.au. My name's Mark and today we're joined by sociologist, consultant and author Dr. Gail Smerdon. Dr. Gail Smerdon is a learning and organisational development specialist who helps people make work less exhausting and more meaningful. She's recently published her third book, The Bad Day Playbook, a book that gently guides readers through the experience of having a bad day and helps them decide how they might address the bad day that they're having. Thank you for joining us today, Gail. It's lovely to have you on Brainwaves.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
So I suppose, first of all, would you like to introduce yourself and maybe share a bit about yourself for our listeners
I did pretty well there, really.
So
I have a background in organisational development. I'm quite old, so I have lots of history, but let's say the most recent one is I work in organisations doing development and but I have a background in sociology, so I trained as a sociologist and also did some psychology as well. Now I'm an author because I just can't seem to stop writing things, and I also love speaking, and I'm a bit of a people nerd. I love to see what people are doing, why they're doing it. Much of my work is about making complicated bits of work and life a little bit more practical, a little bit more human, and I like to find useful ideas that work in real life, so something practical, particularly when life's being a bit rubbish.
And you've recently published your third book, The Bad Day Playbook. What inspired you to write this particular book?
Yeah, so The Bad Day Playbook, I think it's important that we call out its tagline as well, which is what to do when everything sucks. And that basically summed up why I wrote the book, because I needed it for myself. I wasn't doing very well with some bad days, and I found myself sitting on the couch in what I call the bad day position, which is, you know, sort of laying flat out and you feel really heavy and sad and angry and frustrated and all of those things and, you know, overwhelmed. And I thought, I don't want to feel like this anymore. What's going to help? And in that moment, of course, I had no idea, because your brain isn't in a place to help you with that. So I had no idea what I wanted to do. But after I got out of feeling bad that time, I thought, right, I'm going to find something that I can do for myself. What's something that I like doing? And I started to write notes on my phone to myself, because I knew I couldn't trust my brain. In that moment, my brain wasn't going to be helpful. So I used to write little notes on my phone saying, do you need to have a glass of water? Would you like to take some breaths? Go for a walk in the park? Just little notes to remind myself that there were things that I could do, because I couldn't do that for myself at that time. So after a while, I found that, you know, I had lots of lovely notes on my phone, but I was asking questions like, what do I feel like doing today? And I found that I was starting to phrase a few questions, and those few simple questions are really what sort of got the playbook going, because it gave a little bit of structure to how we do things. So I wanted something not to tell me how to live your life. You know, I didn't want to be feeling that I needed to be my best self right now. Just something gentle to say, look, here's some doors. Which one do you want to walk through today? What feels possible? Because, yeah, you do have some agency and that at that moment. And, yeah, you just need something to remind you that you can get help.
Let's start by, talking about what exactly is a bad day, the types of bad days that you're talking about in the book, or as you put it, bad dayness. What is bad dayness?
And bad dayness or bad day or
yeah,
lots of lovely ways to describe it. Look, you know it when you're in a bad day. I sort of wanted to keep it pretty deliberately broad, but you know, it's a sense of frustration or sadness or irritation, disappointment, just when stuff's starting to go wrong and you're not sure what to do. Sometimes it can be something that's obvious, like you know what the cause is. Sometimes it's just a few tiny things that sort of gang up on you and, you know, make you feel that way. It could be personal, could be work-related, relational, or maybe you just simply woken up and you're not feeling the best. So I don't think you need to justify what a bad day is. If it feels like a bad day to you, then that's enough.
And one of the things that, yeah, I really appreciated about the book was that just the way that you've laid it out. It was very similar to, you know, the Choose Your Own Adventure books that you might have read when you were growing up. Was that idea in your mind when you were putting the book together?
Yeah. I wanted people to be able to follow their own path, because this isn't a prescription how to, you know, feel better, follow these three protocols and you'll be fine, because not all bad days need the same sort of solution. So I didn't want a prescription. I wanted readers to be able to sort of assess what might help and then find a place in the book that's going to get them some ideas about some things they might like to try. So rather than reading, you know, from chapter one through to the end, you don't need to trudge through every chapter if that's not applicable to what you're going through, but it gives you a little framework and then you can choose something that you want to do and investigate it. And if it's not the right thing, you just do it again. So nothing's irrevocable. But yeah, I wanted people to be able to go in and find their own way through so that they get through the bad day and not make it a whole day, actually make it maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
At the beginning of the book, you pose three questions. And those three questions kind of lead you to where you're going to end up in the book. Would you like to sort of talk about what those questions are?
Sure. So these are the questions that I found that I was asking myself. And the first thing I'd ask is, do I want to do something about this? Or do I just want to say suck? And that's fine. You can do that if you want to. Otherwise, you can say, all right, maybe I want to be by myself, or maybe I want to be with someone. So I'd think about what's the company that I needed. And it might be that I really just needed to be by myself, or I really didn't think that being by myself was a good idea. So once I'd made that choice, I decided I want to do something, who I wanted to do it with. And then I sort of thought, do I want to lean into the issue and sort of try and nut out what's actually going on, sort of dig a little bit deeper, or do I just need to take a break for a moment? And that was sort of the important questions that I asked, because what happens then is you can map that on a little model and find some things that you can do. So the playbook sort of gives you some choices rather than giving you an instruction manual.
Mm. So just to go to talk a bit more about that model, the three questions sort of lead to, finally getting to use the bad day playbook model, which is built around four quadrants. Could you walk us through that model and explain how the four quadrants connect to the way the reader answered the questions?
Yeah, sure. So say you've decided that you want to think about what is that's causing the issue. So you want to go in and you don't want to be with someone, so you want to do this by yourself. That takes you into a little chapter which we call reflect. So you're going inwards, you're doing it by yourself, and you can come up with some options about some things that you could do. So maybe you want to think or write or, yeah, lots of different solutions that we give you in the book. Things to try. They're experiments more than solutions, I think. So say you want to sort through the issue still, but you really don't think that you can do it by yourself. So I call this talking. So you want to connect, you want to talk it through, you want to get some support, but you really want to try and nut out what's happening. So that's the first two quadrants. The second one is if you want to just distract yourself, you need a break, you just need a little bit of space, and maybe you want to step away and do this on your own. So that's our distract quadrant. So do something fun, absorbing. It can be anything, just something to get you out of the moment, even if that's Netflix and ice cream. There's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't probably live there, but still. And the other one is maybe you need some connection with other people, but you still want some distraction. You don't want to think about it. Well, that's just play. So find someone to connect with, go out and have some fun. So none are better than the other, but it's just you need to find out what fits your needs for that day.
Mm. And something that I really do did enjoy when I was, reading the book is that not only do you take into account the state of mind someone might be in when they're picking up the book and they need it, but it is, you know, so it's easy to follow. You don't have to read it cover to cover, but also it's full of really great suggestions for every single situation. Do you want to share some of those situations and sort of ideas that you put in the book for people to follow for which particular branch of their bad day solution they're going to follow?
Oh, first of all, I knew there was something I wanted to say first of all. So first of all.
Oh, please, go ahead.
First thing I do is I ask myself some questions around, am I tired, am I hungry, or am I thirsty? So because sometimes it's not that you're actually in a bad mood, it's just you're physically needing to do something else. So I always check in with those first because that's quite important. And then if I think, no, there's more going on here, then I'll look for something else to do. So there's lots of different things you can do. You can go for a walk. You can put some music on. You could cook something. I find it very, very helpful to watch something funny quite often if I'm trying to distract myself. Other thing I really like doing is just heading down the road and doing some axe throwing. I find that incredibly therapeutic. And you can do that by yourself or with a friend. So there's 15 different ideas that sort of sit along with each of the different quadrants to help you. And, yeah, they range from physical, changing your environment, doing something fun. And, yeah, there's a lot in there. It's hard to pick favourites.
There is a lot in there. Even when someone might decide to go it alone as a means of trying to make sense of their bad day and turn things around, hopefully, you strongly recommend that they still let someone know that they're struggling, just in case. Why is that such an important part of your approach?
Yeah, I just like to give people that because if you are in a bad day and you're deciding that you want to do something about it by yourself and for yourself, then I really applaud that. That's great. And it can be, you know, very helpful to do that. But sometimes because you're not always in a good state to get yourself out of feeling bad, it doesn't hurt just to ring someone up and say, look, I'm not having a very good day today. I don't need to do anything for me, but I just wanted someone to know. And look, I'll call you later on tonight, but I just wanted to say hi and not to worry about me, because, you know, I don't want people to spiral and start getting out of control. So I love it if people can just create that very, very small safety net for themselves and someone knows to check in on you, and, yeah, you don't keep going further and further in the rabbit hole.
You also challenge the idea that we necessarily need to handle a bad day alone. How do you approach people who are reluctant to ask for help, or they're the type of person that's used to coping alone, yeah, or they don't want to burden someone?
Yeah, yeah. That's not uncommon, because most of us tend to think that being competent means that we really need to be able to handle everything ourselves. But I think one of the most adult things you can do is ask for help when you need it. And we tend to forget that we'd happily provide that help to someone else. Like, if someone else came to us and asked us for support, we'd feel grateful and, you know, we'd feel really good about being able to help someone. So I think it is really, really important to challenge what your beliefs are about that, because asking for help is important. It doesn't mean, though, that you dump everything on someone or that you start expecting them to fix stuff for you. It's still your thing that you need to deal with or let go of. But I think you can set yourself up a little bit so that it's not so much of a concern that you might feel you're burdening someone. And by that I sort of mean just be a little bit specific about what you need. So tell them, look, I probably just need you to listen to me right now, or I'd really like your advice. So think that through a little bit. So you can say just something really gentle like, look, I really need to talk about this, but I'm not looking for you to fix it. I just really need to feel heard. And make a small request, make it specific, you know, can I talk to you for 10 minutes, or could we go for a walk together? That would be really cool. So, yeah, I think we put a lot of burden on ourselves to do everything ourselves, but I think that, you know, there's people really want to help, and you probably know some people in your life who are going to be very good for that. You probably know some people who aren't going to be good for that as well. So probably don't go there.
So sometimes we can have one difficult thing happen to us after another throughout the day without really noticing how much it's actually affecting us. How can people become more aware and better at recognizing that they're heading towards a bad day before it just hits them without them even realizing?
This is important, because the bad day playbook is going to help you shorten the length of the badness. Over time, though, if you pick up the book or use it reasonably frequently, you'll find that you start becoming aware a little bit earlier. And that's something that I found really, really useful by just doing this. I can feel it coming on sooner because I start to build an awareness of those early warning signs. So it could be something in your body like you feel a bit tense or tired, or maybe you've got a headache, or maybe it's something behavioural. You're feeling a bit withdrawn, or maybe you're doom scrolling or procrastinating, or just you feel yourself withdrawing a little bit. It can also be sort of thinking, like you're just replaying things over and over in your head. And you start to notice that it accumulates a little bit. So you need to really start to become aware of your own patterns. So awareness is really the first step. It's probably not the final step, but just building that awareness is such a good practice, because you do get better at it and you get quicker at it.
There's also people out there who feel that they don't have the luxury of switching off because of people depend on them, partners, children, colleagues, employees, etc. How would you challenge that idea that they simply can't take time out?
Yeah. So, yeah, time out doesn't sort of mean abandoning your children and, you know, moving to Bali or anything. It can be quite a short thing. So it can be 2 minutes, 10 minutes, just taking a breath, taking a walk around the block, having a conversation, not doing some task. And sometimes, you know, just continuing at full speed when you're depleted isn't the responsible thing to do. But if you have other people who are depending on you, then you need to take that into account. But find a way to ask yourself, what's the smallest amount of space I can create for myself? So if the answer isn't stopping, maybe it's just, how can I reduce the load a little bit right now? Because, yeah, we can't just stop in the middle of a meeting and say, you know, I'm going to go out and do some meditation now. But although I wish we could, yeah, sometimes it's just reducing the load and finding those moments.
Throughout the playbook, you point out that every path that people can take in the book has an upside and a downside. Why was it important to present the choices in that way rather than simply telling readers which option's the best?
Yeah, there's no universally correct response to a bad day. And ultimately, I think everybody needs to learn to identify what they need. You might not get that right all the time. The playbook is really about agency. It's not about a set of commandments about what you need to do. It's about building trust in yourself to make decisions about your own life. So, yeah, I want people to see that this choice is your choice, but there are consequences. And making sure that you can point those out to people will help them still have agency. They can still choose what they want to do, but just gives them a little bit more support around, you know, directions that might or might not be helpful.
Could you give us a few examples of the different paths and the trade-offs that come with them, you know, the upsides and the downsides that people might have to sort of decide upon?
Yeah, so if you think about when you say you decide to stay stuck, well, the good thing about that, no effort. You can, you know, you're already there. You don't have to do anything, but nothing's going to change. So that's the good and the bad of that one. If we're in our reflect stage, if we're looking at what the problem is, you need to be aware that while this can produce some insight, if you're doing this by yourself, it can turn into rumination as well. So you need to make sure that you're checking in with yourself, which is sort of why I suggest we set up that safety net of talking to someone. So that can be the downside of that, is that you can just get stuck in your head and keep spiraling rather than really leaning in and producing any good insight around what will help. The other one, distraction. So, yep, Netflix and ice cream are really, really good. Some gives you some good relief. You can have a laugh, but, you know, it can become avoidance if that's all you do and it's not a choice, it's just your default when you're feeling blue. Well, that's not going to help you either. So that's sort of how I think of that one. And if you want to talk with someone, you can create some connections. I just warn people that you might talk yourself deeper into the problem if you choose the right person, if you choose the wrong person. So you don't want someone who is pretty good at catastrophizing for themselves or pointing out all the bad things immediately. And you don't want to lay it at other people's feet. So it can be a really great way to create connection, but, you know, you have to be a little bit careful about who you choose and how you approach it. Yeah, there's no perfect choice. There are useful choices for right now.
So speaking of, you know, communicating with someone else when you are having a bad day, you present a really interesting concept called the 3-point communication approach. Yeah. Do you want to sort of give us a brief outline on what that involves?
Yeah, we talk about that a lot in communication skills and coaching and facilitation when we're in the work that I do. And mostly in the Bad Day Playbook, this comes up when we're in talk and we're leaning into a situation with someone. So when we're doing that, we can feel really, really vulnerable if we have direct face-to-face conversations and we're feeling bad. It can feel quite intense. One of the things that we do is bring something along that you can focus on that comes between you. Some of our best conversations happen when we're doing something else. So in a scenario at work, if you're having a meeting with someone and you're a little bit concerned about that, you might bring a report or a diagram or something for you both to look at so you don't have to just, you know, look at each other. So if you can think about the difference of having a cup of tea straight across the table from someone and you're staring at each other and talking about what this issue is, and compare that with maybe taking a walk together or a drive somewhere or cooking something or just working alongside them in the garden, it really takes the emotional fizz off things, I think. Instead of it all being about focused on each other, there's a third point. Just find it makes conversations much easier, takes the intensity out of them. Really useful for people who find direct emotional conversations a little bit uncomfortable.
And lastly, if anyone listening right now is having a bad day, what is the one thing you would encourage them to do before the day's over?
Okay, well, first of all, congratulations for noticing. So that's the first thing. Because the more you notice, the earlier you're going to catch things. So well done. Start with the basics. Am I tired? Am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Notice where you are and then make one deliberate choice. So don't try and fix your whole life. Just ask, what is it that I need next? Go through the questions and find something in the solution. So it might be maybe you want to just have a conversation or take a shower or listen to some music or go for a walk, whatever it is, even if it's doing nothing for half an hour. Just become aware. Remember that you have some agency because you have a plan now. You can think about things that you want to do. And then you can take an action, and it can be a really, really small action. So we're not saving the world. We're not changing our lives and becoming 100% better. We're just making that little small step that can help break the spell. You don't have to turn a bad day into a good day. Sometimes you just need to make the next 10 minutes a little bit better.
Thank you so much for joining us at Brainwave today, Gail. I highly recommend our listeners get a copy of your book. I hope that our conversation has sort of given everybody an idea of what to expect when they do get a copy. Where else can people discover things about you and what you do?
Yeah, so if you can go on, I'm pretty easy to find. You can go on to LinkedIn, or you can go on to my website, gailsburden.com, and you can buy one of my books from there. I'll sign it and send it to you. And, yeah, that would be lovely. I'd love to share the Bad Day Playbook message with people. And I also find people love giving it as a gift, even if they think they don't need it. They're often saying, I think this will be really, really helpful for someone else. So, yeah, really happy to get in touch if you've got any other questions too.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you for tuning into Brainwaves tonight. You can find more of our shows at the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au or wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to send us suggestions for shows via email at brainwaves@wellways.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next Wednesday at 5 p.m. for another episode of Brainwaves on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.